core values are values that a bunch of us sat down, volunteers at the church, and said, Holy Spirit, show us ways in which we can live together in community here at Transformation Church. So this weekend, we're on the last one, and it's the eighth one, and this one is very simple. We pray because we need God. We pray because we need God. You might wonder why this one's at the end. Why is this one at the end? I think of it this way. I think of the eighth one as it's like the hockey game where the Boston Bruins are playing against the Leafs and where Don's not here, is he? I planned this all for Don. The Boston Bruins are playing against the Leafs. The Bruins score, everybody cheers, but then the game is all clinched up when the Leafs score and win the game. That's what this is like. This is the final one that ties all the rest together. We pray because we need God. But honestly, that analogy to a hockey game doesn't even come close to what prayer is or what prayer can be. Maybe another analogy can be prayer is more like us sinking and a life buoy thrown out to us and we grab a hold of it and our life is saved. But even that analogy doesn't do justice to what prayer can be. So what is prayer? Or how can we pray? Or why would we pray? And I'm sure all of us here today would say prayer is very important. It's wildly important. But then if I ask for a show of hands, the show of hands might indicate that few of us pray often or regularly, or few of us actually would say about our prayer life, oh, it's great. So we think it's great, this prayer, but in actual practice, we struggle to make it happen like we even think we should. And perhaps common phrases about prayer are something like this. Well, I say my prayers every night. Or perhaps we hear things like, well, prayer is kind of boring, honestly. Or prayer is hard. Or maybe a really common one. I asked God to help me way back then, and honestly, it doesn't feel like he showed up. I have my own experience with prayer, and I too am human. I remember the prayers of my childhood. So I grew up in a Christian home, and I remember the days we'd gather around the table, and it'd be the whole family. We'd all hold hands, and my dad would say, Jeremy, can you pray? And I had heard these prayers many times, and so I modeled what was done, and it went like this. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this lunch. Lord, help me on my studies. In Jesus' name, amen. Day after day after day, meal after meal after meal, it became very rote, memorized. We all said the same thing. We did it the same way. Do you have that experience? Hearing rote prayers, praying rote prayers? These prayers became empty feeling to me. But then I have other stories of prayers. Remember the days where I was a young man and I was working and I lost an important piece of equipment. And so I decided to pray. I said, Lord, please help me to find this piece of equipment. By the way, I have a terrible habit of losing things. It still follows me around to this day. Anyway, this time when I was young, I said, Lord, help me find that item. Then I began to look and look and look, and I never found the item. And I began to think, does God actually want to help Jeremy? Then I can think of other times too, times where I would be in prayer to God because religious leaders had told me that I had done wrong, full of anxiety, full of fear. The only thing I felt was, if anything, the absence of the presence of God. And I would ask God to help me, and it felt like God was far and didn't hear me and wasn't there. Have you ever experienced prayers like that? But I can tell you of other prayers. Prayers where I did the exact same thing and somehow in that moment, God shows up and miraculously changes me so much that I travel from New Brunswick to Thunder Bay and become a pastor in Thunder Bay. I've seen both. I've felt both what feels like the absence of God, and I've also seen the miraculous where God shows up in a way that blows my mind. What is your experience with prayer? So how do we pray? Why do we pray? Does it work? The good thing is that we're not the first ones to think about this question. In Luke 11, one of Jesus' disciples come to him and say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Perhaps today, as we're gathered here, we could have that same spirit, that same question in our spirit, saying, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus taught this prayer in Luke 11. This prayer is often called the Lord's Prayer. You've probably heard it. It goes something like this: "Our Father who is in heaven." You've heard it, haven't you? It's also in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read it now. I'm going to invite you, as we look at this in Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read a few verses ahead of the Lord's Prayer. When I get to the Lord's Prayer, it'll be on the screen behind me. Let's all repeat the words together of the Lord's Prayer. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to open up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And again, as I said, this is a bit before the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus is teaching on prayer. "And when you pray," he says, "do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We've heard that prayer before, haven't we? This is a prayer that has been repeated by Christians for centuries, over and over again. We'll find this prayer, as I said, in chapter 6. In chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus has gone up on a mountain and his disciples have sat down and he begins to teach them and he tells them, "Listen, you guys, as disciples, you live as salt and light here on this earth. You'll be persecuted sometimes. You will be people who are to be peacemakers when there's division in the world. You are to be people who are pure in your hearts, for it's the pure people that will see God." And then he says, "You be like these people so that you can be a light on a hill, so that all the world can see your good deeds and praise the Father who is in heaven." And so that's how this chapter 5 begins. We get to chapter 6 and the tone shifts a little bit. The tone in chapter 6 is Jesus telling us to watch out, to be careful, because you can do lots of religious things, but actually they aren't close to the heart of God. You can do lots of religious things, but that's all they are, religious, not close to the heart of God. And after telling those listeners not to give all kinds of things and to do it out of just a way to get praise from other people, he says, "I'm going to tell you some things not to do when you pray." He says, "Don't pray in a way that just communicates to everyone else around you how religious you are, how close to God you are." You see, in the day, it was very commonplace for people to pray two or three times a day on the clock. They had fixed hour prayer. And so no matter what happened, no matter where you were, when the clock struck noon, you were going to pray. Well, sometimes that caught you in the marketplace. If you were a religious teacher, you were sometimes in the synagogue. Everybody was watching. And this was a fantastic opportunity to pray in public. And the religious teachers, the hypocrites, as Jesus calls them, the hypocrites, the people that make it look like what they're doing is real when it's not real. The hypocrites would love this environment. They would pray out loud so everybody could see them. Jesus says, that's a way not to pray. Don't do it. That's the first way Jesus tells us not to pray. He tells us not to care about what people around us think about our prayers. Sometimes we don't pray because we're afraid of what someone's going to think of our prayers. Jesus says not to care about that. Jesus says not to care about the appreciation, the thank yous, the thank you for the great sermon. He tells us to do whatever we're doing for the Father. That's the first way. The second way, Jesus says, is, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Perhaps you think, oh, I definitely am not like that. You know, the pagans of the day, they would repeat the same word over and over again, hoping that their divine God would hopefully respond in a way that made some kind of sense. We read in 1 Kings that the priests of Baal, the fake god, Baal, they would cry out from morning to noon, saying, oh, Baal, answer us. Oh, Baal, answer us. Oh, Baal, answer us. The people in Acts 19, these people aren't Christians. They cry out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. For 2 hours, they cry out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. I have never heard any of us at Transformation Church trying this. So we probably feel pretty secure from us ever doing this. But I have a North American version of how I think this looks. This is something like this. When I was 18, 17, 16, 15, somewhere in there, I would love, after a hard day at work, a hot sunny day, going to the vending machine. And there in the vending machine were some delicious Pepsis, root beers, Coca-Colas, and of course, chips. Hickory sticks, that's what it was, hickory sticks. So I'd walk up to the vending machine, I would get my hard-earned toonie out, and I'd put it in the vending machine, and I'd press D9. And the machine would start that little, you know, spinning sound, and the hickory stick would push out and plunk down, and the Pepsi would push out and plunk down. And then I would go in the little compartment and pull out and have my delicious snack. So I have a North American version sometimes of how we treat prayer. We think of God like the vending machine. We think, I'm going to press A2, and out of the vending machine is going to fall my house. Or we press C9, and we think out of the vending machine, that is God, is going to fall the solution for our next problem. And so we go on doing this until we feel like the vending machine got hitched up. Because sometimes when I went to get my hickory sticks and my Pepsi, every once in a while, the vending machine, I'd put $2 in, and the hickory sticks would get hung up on the way out. I'd look around for the staff who runs the vending machine, and there's nobody there. So I'd shake the vending machine, and still it didn't fall out. But some of us treat God like that. We press A2, hoping that my transaction with this divine being is going to result in some kind of answer. And I'm not denying that those prayers are not necessarily valid and good. But what I'm getting at, in the same way that the people would cry out for hours, great as Artemis of the Ephesians, so we sometimes treat God like a transaction. We want what God has to give more than we want God himself. We want what God has to give more than God himself. So Jesus tells us a couple ways not to pray. And one of those ways is, don't treat God like a transaction. Often, if we treat God like a transaction, like me, when the hickory sticks get hung up in the vending machine, I shake it. We do the same in prayer. we become angry at God and upset with him. We think, God never answers prayers. And then we walk away because my hickory sticks are stuck in the vending machine. We want God for his stuff more than we want God himself. Well, Jesus tells us two beautifully significant things about how we talk to the Father in prayer. And then he goes on to give us a model of how to pray. So here's the first of those two beautiful things that he tells us for how to pray. When you pray, go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Why do we pray? Because when we pray, we're talking to the Father of us. We're talking to the creator of the world. We're talking to someone who always sees us. We don't have to clamor to be seen by other people with our prayers. We're being invited by God Almighty, his undivided attention. Are we willing to give him our undivided attention? This God, he always listens to us. This God that is our Father, he is very close. Even the very language here, you think of going into the room and closing the door. Doesn't that have an intimate sound to it? Isn't that special that just the two of you are going to be alone to have a conversation? You think about lovers, people that have recently fallen in love. Lovers want to be alone all the time. They don't want to be with anybody else. They want to eat together and drive together. They want to share meals together. Jesus is offering to meet with us as someone who loves us. It would be a shame if we settle for only the kind of prayer that happens in public, only the kind that treats God as a divine kind of transaction, because we're invited into something way more special than that. This God of the universe, who makes the sun rise and the sun set, wants to have a conversation with you and I. I have experienced this personally. This is not transactional prayer. This is intimate prayer. Every once in a while, I will feel this tug in my heart to rise early, like very early. Sometimes I'll come here to the church at 3 a.m. Sometimes it's in our living room. And often it's there that I feel the tangible presence of God that is incredibly close. You know what often happens to me in those moments? I cry. Now, admittedly, I probably cry more than most, but I cry for minutes at a time. Why? I don't know why. Because God is here? Because I'm known by God? Because I am loved by God? In those moments, does God answer every single thing I've ever asked in the way that I expect him to? No. You know what? I leave those times knowing one thing. I'm okay because Jesus is here. I'm okay because I am known by the one who loves me. That is the favorite part of my day, honestly. Starting the day, meeting with God for a couple of minutes, spending time listening, journaling, saying, Lord, there in my office as I often start my day with the door shut, Lord, meet me here before I begin this day. You see, prayer isn't a transaction. Prayer isn't just asking God to do things. Prayer is a relationship. The second thing Jesus tells us about the Father is that the Father knows what you need before you ask him. The Father knows what you need before you ask him. So why do we pray? We pray because the Father sees us. The Father listens to us. The Father loves us. The Father knows what we need before we ask him. So why do we pray? Jesus isn't done. He goes on now to give us a sample prayer, you might say, what we often call the Lord's Prayer. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we're praying to our Father. We are praying as sons and daughters. Father, I want your name to be honored. I want it to be hallowed. Father, you have a good name. Father, you have a good way of being. Father, you are good. Father, if your reputation became known around the whole world and your name was recognized as good and sacred and holy, this place would be a good place. This world would be a good world. So, Father, I'm praying that your name would be honored. So why do we pray? We pray because the Father's name is good. His reputation is excellent. And because we want to see his name known and honored by everyone. And Father, I'm praying that your kingdom would come. That is, that your authority, your dominion would come here in my place, in my office, in my home, on the streets in Thunder Bay, here at this church. Lord, that you would come in my heart, in my home, in this city, in this nation. Lord, what idols of my heart should I surrender today? What kindness can I show toward those in my home? Lord, in what ways can I bless this city? So we pray, Lord, your kingdom come. When we pray this, we are relying on the fact that Jesus is saying his kingdom is coming. His kingdom has begun to come and will only grow in more fullness day by day. Sometimes we will see very clearly God's kingdom among us. We won't even have to look for it. We'll see something miraculous and we'll know God is here. But sometimes we have to look for it a little bit. But I'll tell you one thing. We're promised this. God's kingdom is coming. So why do we pray? We pray because Jesus is bringing his kingdom here on earth. And then we pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your desire, your intended purpose. Human rulers have their decisions. Mark Carney makes his and Trump makes his, but Father, let your desire be done. Father, let me turn away from my own desire and let me turn toward your desire for me. Lord, help me to be an agent, a listening voice in bringing about your will here on this earth in the power of your Holy Spirit. So why do we pray? We pray because we have hope that the Lord's desire will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray because Jesus has asked us to partner with him as he does that here. And then we pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Lord, give me today what I need, enough for this moment. Give me not enough for tomorrow, but enough for right now. I trust you. Give me what I need for this day. Give me what I need for my family. Give me what I need as I open up the news and read the headlines. Lord, give me what I need when it comes to finances. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, as I receive from you and as sometimes I have more than I need, help me to care for my fellow human who also has needs. Help me if I have two loaves to give away one loaf to help those around me. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Why do we pray? We pray because the Father provides our needs. We pray because we are asked to help other people with their needs. And then we pray, Lord, please forgive us our debts. Father, I bring to you the debts that I know of, the things that I've done wrong against others made in your image, the things I've done wrong against you, and I ask you for forgiveness, the ways I've talked to my family wrong, the ways I've thought about other people wrong, the ways I've judged, the ways I've hated, the ways I've feared, the ways I've tried to control other people. Lord, please forgive me my debts, as I also have forgiven my debtors. For if I forgive other people when they sin against me, you, my heavenly Father, will forgive me my sins. But if I do not forgive other people when they sin against me, you, my heavenly Father, will not forgive me my sins. So why do we pray? We pray because we have a Father who wants to forgive us. Why do we pray? We pray because we have others to forgive. And Lord, lead us not into temptation today. This would be better translated as, Lord, don't test me today. The Lord knows that life is difficult enough day by day. Have you experienced that? The Lord says, ask me not to lead you into testing today. You see, testing will come, and the Lord does test us. The Lord tests us with this provision that we will overcome. The Lord doesn't tempt. The Lord doesn't tempt people. He does test. So he actually offers to us, pray, Lord, don't test me today. Today has enough of its own trouble. And why do we pray this? We pray this because God is for us and not against us. Why do we pray this? Because he tells us to pray, Lord, do not lead us into testing, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, God offers to deliver us from the evil one. And that's where the prayer ends. Jesus delivering us from the evil one. Who needs to be delivered from the evil one? I do. The world does. And we're praying to this Father who says, I have overcome the evil one. So why do we pray? We pray because we need God. But more importantly, I would say something else. I would say we pray because God loves us. We pray because God loves us. We pray real prayers to a real Father who really knows us because prayer is a real relationship with a real Father. But as you're listening, maybe you wonder, but what of the struggle? What of the unanswered prayers? What if all the things you shared at the beginning of your story. Jeremy, what of those? Why those? What of the lost piece of equipment that I never found? What of the stories of agony and fear as a teenager I prayed and God felt distant? What of the cancers? What of the broken family relationships? And I would offer us this, that we would still say with the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus knew full well that each day would have enough of its own trouble. He gave us a model prayer. I wonder if this prayer was to keep us coming back to the source, day by day, trouble upon trouble. I wonder if as we kept coming back and as we kept meeting with the Father who loves us, we would begin to realize and grasp and remember to see that the Father really does love us, that his kingdom is coming here on this earth, that the Lord's will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, that he will give us just enough strength for today, that he does forgive our debts, and that though this life is full of tests, he will ultimately, absolutely deliver us from the evil one. And so when I turn on the news, or I hear the terrible stories of war, or I think about a government leading us wrong, or I hear about a cancer diagnosis, or someone dies. I am sometimes tempted to believe that I don't have a Father in heaven. I am sometimes tempted to believe that his kingdom isn't coming. I'm sometimes tempted to believe that his will won't be done, that I don't have enough for today, that I will be, that evil will win the day. But it reminds me that today is Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. The people were expecting Jesus to fix the world's problems, to overthrow Rome. But Jesus chooses not a horse or a stallion and riding in power, but no, he comes riding in on a donkey. This is not what the people expected. And Jesus submits himself to the Father's will and eventually is crucified and dies a death. And the world thinks Jesus is defeated. But no, that's not the end of the story, because Resurrection Sunday comes and Jesus is raised from the dead. And one day, Jesus is coming back in power. One day, his kingdom will be made right in every way here on this earth. So what of those hard stories? Jesus always wins. Will we trust him? The Father is here. Think about the times of my prayers unanswered. I think about the times when I was a teenager. And as I look back on it now, I know one thing about those times. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you something. Jesus was there. Jesus was beside me as I prayed that prayer. Jesus was there. Jesus gave enough strength for today. Jesus was there. So why do we pray? We pray because we need God. We pray because God loves us. Invite the team up at this time. And as you're just thinking about prayer, I'm going to invite us just to ponder for a moment our own relationship to God through prayer. See why this is much more than a goal being scored at the end of a game. This is much more than a life buoy being thrown. This is relationship with God. And so to neglect prayer and to do it once in a while is to miss out on the greatest gift of connection with God. And so let's just examine our hearts. Let's just turn our attention toward him and perhaps practice prayer in this moment just by simply saying, Lord, here I am. Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening.